everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today for another wonderful, insightful, healing, transforming conversation. As you know, this program is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And I want to say hi to everybody. I'm actually here in Queensland, Australia. I'm at the end of a two-month lecture tour that I've been doing in Australia and New Zealand. I've had an amazing time, as always. This is not the first time I've been down here, and it won't be the last. So it's coming to an end, and I'm really sad to be leaving and going back to the frigid north above the equator place. But anyway, it's just been a delightful time. And as always, when I'm in Australia and New Zealand, it's a chance to meet some remarkable people. And I'll be sharing some interviews with you as the new year unfolds with some very remarkable people that I have been inspired by during my time in Australia. And today we're going to be interviewing one of those people. In fact, my guest today is quite an amazing woman, and she has a very inspiring story to share with you and also a big, big mission for our healing journey. So without any further ado, let me introduce you to Kirsty Wirth. We're going to be talking about the healing power of cultured food for autism and really for overall well-being. And here's a little bit about Kirsty. She's the founder of Cultured Wellness, a company whose mission is to inspire and educate people to take control of their health by eating real and fermented food that nourishes the brain and the gut. She is the brainchild behind Cultured Wellness Culture Starters and Functional Supplements. She has been called the Gut Guru, an intuitive healer, and her research and work in the area of gut health has been life-changing for many of her clients. Her experience in education and research of over 15 years continues to drive her purpose of empowering the community to gain knowledge and understanding so they can be well and thrive. She is a huge nature lover, a mother, a fervent advocate for children on the spectrum. You just can't help but be touched by her spirit and infectious enthusiasm. And that absolutely is my experience in talking to Kirsty. And I'm so thrilled that she is here with us today sharing her very powerful and important message. So, g'day to Kirsty.
G'day. How are you there?
I am so good, and it's such a pleasure to have you on the show today. I know that your work is changing so many people's lives, and I was introduced to you by people who just speak so highly of your work, Kirsty. So I just am so thrilled that we're able to have you on the show, and you can get out there to a worldwide audience of people who I know will be so pleased that they have been listening to this radio interview today. So, Kirsty, first of all, just welcome to the show, and thanks for making the time to be here. And I also want to just jump in by having you share the journey that you've been on that brought you to this place of creating these amazing cultures that help to make our food really healing, a healing food. So let's just start with your amazing story, because it is an amazing story. It's an inspiring story. And I think it really needs to be told to fully appreciate what you're doing and why.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be chatting with you today. And I suppose, like so many people who, you know, have a real mission in life or a real passion, it does come from an experience, and that's certainly been the case for myself. And, it sort of even started, my story really happens and came about with my son being so unwell. But even before that, before I, became a mum, I had a lot of gut health problems and a lot of random health problems that could never be put down to anything. And I would often just, you know, oh, gosh, I've just got terrible diarrhea, or, you know, this, oh, I get headaches, oh, I can't sleep, I'll just take some, you know, a sleeping pill for that, or I'll take some Panadol for this, and just sort of pushed it to the side and live such an active, healthy lifestyle, and have always been a big nature and sport lover that I just kind of thought, oh, well, I'm, you know, active and healthy, so it should be fine. But my body was sending me so many little signals and was screaming out to me, but I wasn't listening to it. And it really sort of all came to a head when my son was born. So I had chronic diarrhea and ill health when I was pregnant with him. But it wasn't until he was around about 13 months when he contracted Giardia, which is a horrible, horrible waterborne pathogen. And once he got that, he really, really started to change. So, yes, he was an unsettled baby. He had colic. He had, you know, he just sort of screamed the whole time. And I would think, oh, these other mums are blissed out with these babies and enjoying motherhood. And I just felt like it was this horrible uphill battle all the time. And, you know, screaming child that wouldn't settle and all of those sorts of things. But it really became clear when he got the Giardia that something wasn't right, because once that sort of pivotal moment happened, he started to get more Giardia. He broke his arm, and then all of his learning and development that had happened up until that point just really started to fade away. So, you know, he lost his speech and he lost eye contact with us, and all of his postural control started to go, and, you know, that basic sort of functional movement and, you know, core strength. And, it sort of got to the point that, you know, he wasn't communicating and he was starting to display some really quite severe autistic symptoms. So, we really started to think, oh, gosh, what's going on here? He started to react to food. He started to be covered in rashes. His behaviour just got worse and worse. He would, you know, scream and pull my hair out and sleep about an hour, you know, a night. And it was just such a horrific time. And so at 3.5, we ended up going and having him assessed. And we came out of that with an autism diagnosis. And the diagnosis was pretty horrific. We were sort of given that prognosis that, look, he's probably not going to talk and he's really not going to reach, you know, major milestones in life, so be prepared that he'll go to a special school, that, you know, all those things that you want for your child, like getting married and going to uni and, you know, and just, you know, thriving, he's not going to reach those milestones. So, you know, you can only imagine how devastating that was. And I just, you know, at the same time, my daughter, who was quite young, was also having lots of health concerns, and, you know, she was really starting to decline. And I remember waking up one day and going, what is going on with my kids here? This is not right. And we got to a crossroads, and we sort of looked at the situation and thought, look, I've had gut problems and I've had health problems. My father has, you know, cognitive sort of problems, Alzheimer's in the family, and I just wasn't happy to rest with just being told to get him a speech pathologist and do the best we could and stick him in front of an iPad and just survive it out. I knew that there was more here for him. And I think when we were told, look, you know, he needs to have lots of structure, so don't go camping and don't take him rock climbing and don't do the things that you love to do, I think that's when it was sort of like the last straw for me. I just thought, I can't survive this life if I can't do those things with my family. So, yeah, I just jumped on into the research and I read and read and read and read. And this whole new world opened up to me about, you know, gut health. And, you know, there had been lots of research about how foods can cause inflammation in the brain and can cause inflammation in the body, and how the wrong gut bacteria and gut pathogens can create toxins that can severely affect children and make them, you know, display these autistic behaviours. So, yeah, we decided to go down that sort of functional medical avenue, that path, and found out numerous tests that were out there. And once we got those tests, you know, we started to unravel and, the big sort of cotton wool and started to see, look, you know, he's got all these gut problems. He doesn't have any good gut bacteria. His poor little brain and his body was thriving, was starving because he just couldn't digest any food. And we started to piece it all together. And from piecing it all together, we started to be able to form an action plan of how to nourish his body and how to make some big changes in his body. And it was just incredible to watch. I if I didn't go through it myself, I probably wouldn't be able to truly, you know, grasp the enormity of what happened and how someone's health can change so greatly just by using food and, you know, probiotic foods and changing your lifestyle. And yeah, I almost wouldn't sort of believe it, but sure enough, you know, we got in there and we killed off those pathogens like Clostridia and Streptococcus, and we, you know, brought the inflammation down and we cooled all of, you know, all of the issues that his gut was having and his brain was having, and slowly but surely he really started coming back and functioning, and he really started to engage with us again. And bit by bit we put those pieces of the puzzle back together again and found our little son again. So at the age of 5, became on a research study. So we flew to Canada, so over your way. And, he had a fecal microbial transplant, which means that we basically went in there and, you know, got a clean slate. So we killed off all of the bad bugs in his gut and then replenished it again with new, beautiful gut bacteria from the donor. And that was, once again, another pivotal point in his healing, because once that happened, he really did just start to wake up, and he had functional language. So he certainly did have bits and pieces of language, but from that point on, he was, you know, functional language, like sentences and engaging with us. And, from there it's just been, you know, onwards and upwards, and it's just so wonderful now. He goes to a beautiful school. He's age appropriate. He doesn't need to go to a special school. He doesn't need a lot of those things that we thought that he would need. And he surfs and he rock climbs and we take him camping and he's got little friends and he's really, really starting to, get back into life and engage in life. And it's a long road for him because he, you know, he was unwell for sort of, you know, the first 6 years of his life. So we've got a lot of healing to do. But it's, it's getting less and less of an issue, and he's really starting to come back to us. So, and from that, obviously, during that time, I learned a lot about my body and what was going on with my body, and I learned a lot about my daughter and about my family, and I love to research. So I just sort of jumped on in there and learned about all of this. And from there, like, Cultured Wellness, my business just kind of evolved out of pure necessity. We came back from the transplant and we had to stay on these really full-on probiotics that cost us a lot of money. And as you can imagine, the amount of money that we had to outlay for all of this, keeping him well and going to Canada, and I couldn't work too much, and it was quite a lot. So I was always trying to work out ways that I could, make sure that we could keep our costs low. And I'd read so much about all the different bacteria strains. There's so many of them in probiotics. And I read each the benefits and the powers of each particular one and how they affect our genes and how they affect our gut and how they affect our brain and how they impact our immune system. And slowly but surely I came up with this little, you know, 9 strains that I, you know, caught. They're almost like my little KFC secret special recipe, and I came up with this secret recipe and got some amazing probiotics from a lab that I worked with and put them together and made this starter culture in a coconut base and started to use that starter to ferment foods. And it turned out that it was far more powerful than the probiotics that we were taking that cost us so much money. And then I could make functional food and we could eat it all day long, as opposed to giving my kids tablets, because I didn't want them to grow up thinking, oh, you just take tablets. I wanted them to really grow up eating and understanding how much food can nourish you. So, yeah, the culture starters were just sort of born out of necessity. And then, of course, you know, someone would ask me, oh, my gosh, what are you guys doing? And that's amazing. And it just sort of just evolved from there. And so we now have these amazing culture starters that are really, you know, rebuilding people's lives and their gut health. And now I've left teaching and education, and, well, I'm still doing that, but as part of one of the sort of arms of cultured wellness, we have a really specific gut healing program for people that were like me, that had sort of no help or nowhere to go and didn't, you know what all the research and what was out there. So my biggest mission is to help people to be able to heal themselves and take the responsibility for that, and to sort of bunker down and have those solutions and just step by step do it, because it's such a long process. It's not a quick fix. It takes so long to do it. And so if you've got someone with you to help you along that journey and provide support and comfort, you know, that's what I really aim to do for people and get back to that sort of community style of healing. So that's a very long-winded answer to your question. No. But there's so much to unpack there, and that's kind of almost like the quick version of it. But, yeah, it all just sort of started out of just sheer need and terror that I was losing my children to, you know, now I know, just to ill health and to complete malnourishment. So, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that, Christine. And I'm sure that when you're sharing your story, so many people listening can really relate to it. It makes me feel so compassionate to all those families who have children on the spectrum to whatever degree, because it's, you know, it's such a challenge to be able to really care for your child, help them to heal, and try to have a, you know, a normal functioning life when there's just so much that's going on with these kids and the impact that has to that greater family and community. So I really feel for everything you went through, and I'm so thrilled to know you found a way out, and that's what you're doing now, is sharing what has helped you. You shared a conversation you had with your son with me yesterday that I thought was so touching. Do you want to share that? Do you know what I mean? Do you remember what when you were sitting on the bus with your son?
Yeah. So, you know, as he's got better and better, we've been able to, you know, sort of get to know him, and because he was just obviously very trapped inside this little body. And about a year ago, because we live on a coast in a coastal town, we were sitting up on the rocks together watching the ocean, and it was such a powerful moment because he just started bawling his eyes out and crying, and, you know, Mummy, I was so sick, and why couldn't you help me? Why couldn't you hear me? And why couldn't anyone understand what was wrong with me? And I was so sick and no one could help me. And gosh, that, you know, obviously just, you can imagine, like a mother, you just feel that. It was just so painful to hear that. And I just had to explain to him, you know, it just took Mummy a long time to find out, and I heard you and I knew you were in pain, but we just had to find the right answers. And, there's a lot of trauma there for him, and, we're really working on that to help him unpack that, you know, we weren't ignoring him, but it just took so long to find out how we could help him heal and how he could be heard, because he couldn't speak, he couldn't be heard, he couldn't tell us he was sick and he was in pain. And so it was such a touching moment. Of course, you know, I wish we could have made it all a lot sooner for him, but it was so touching to be able to unpack that with him and let him know that we were there for him the whole time. It just took a while.
I think what's so amazing about that experience is that he, at this point in his life, is able to express and communicate what he was going through when he was back in that world, and he couldn't connect, you know, he couldn't reach into this world. And, you both were trying to understand, and he was able to finally talk about that. That's quite remarkable, really, to get an insight into what was going on within his being when he was in that place.
And fascinating anyway, because boys of, you know, sort of 7 and 8, they don't kind of tap into their emotions too much, and you know, they're going through all sorts of testosterone surges and development, so they don't check in with themselves. So I was really quite surprised at how he could do that, because it really was quite an open moment for him.
And I'm sure he's quite an exceptional child on many levels, you know, in his helping him to get into this body and function into this world. I'm sure he's got some important things he's going to be doing.
An amazing story. See that.
So, Chrissy, I want to go back to your story and really help people to understand more about this gut issue. So you talked about your gut issues before you were pregnant and during pregnancy. So what do you think caused your gut issues? What was going on in your life that compromised your microbiome?
Yeah, look, I think it was a series of events. I think, firstly, now that I've, you know, because we have delved into this area so much, I've been very fortunate to get my genetics done. And that's been amazing for me to then be able to sort of piece my little puzzle back together again. So I know that I've got methylation issues and detox issues and, gut absorption issues. So what I can, you know, sort of piece together is that over a long period of time, I had a lot of pain in my body and a lot of infections. And I would use Panadol and anti-inflammatories quite a lot, and they would have just completely destroyed my gut. So, I love my
the actual gut later. Lining, right?
Yeah.
Just
destroy the gut lining and then destroy the gut bacteria as well. So, and I would rely on them quite heavily. And I also took a lot of sleeping tablets because I had trouble sleeping because I was in a lot of pain all the time. And then I spent a lot of my time traveling. So I picked up all sorts of gut bacteria and picked up a lot of pathogens that my body really never sort of fought. So they just sort of stayed dormant within my body. And I myself had a lot of traumatic experiences. I was in the Boxing Day tsunami in Thailand, and there was a lot of trauma in my body that also plays out with stress and plays out with how your body heals and deals with infections. And so I think it's sort of a cumulative effect of and just being, you know, young and silly and drinking too much and carrying on. And I really didn't honour my body. I didn't look after my body. I didn't know how to treat it. I didn't know how to nourish it. I came from a very traditional Australian diet that certainly wasn't fermented foods. There was a lot of, you know, sugar and gluten and all those sorts of things. So my gut health coupled with my genetic implications was really a recipe for very poor ill health. And because I love life so much, I tried to prop myself up all the time with medication, and it really just, you know, compounded the problem to the point that, you know, as we know, when children come down through the birth canal, they're bathed in their mother's gut bacteria. And so I can see now that Noah, literally my son, would have been bathed in very, very poor gut bacteria and basically no good bacteria. So, it sort of paved the way for him for, an immune system that didn't develop correctly and gut bacteria that didn't inoculate. So, yeah, multifaceted reasons why, and also ignoring the problem and just keeping on going and chin up and you'll be fine. And yeah,
so it's such an interesting story to look at, because you had all these assaults on your microbiome, the healthy gut flora, the healthy gut function, really. We were talking about all the drugs that affect the lining of the gut and, of course, alter this community inside you, this gut flora community that has to be balanced. It has to have the right kinds of microorganisms for it to function. And there right now is so much information and research going on with the microbiome. It's a really huge topic because our microbiome really is directing our body's ability to function and to have an active immune system and neurotransmitters, as well as getting nutrition, as well as impacting hormones and impacting just about every key function of our body. So it's huge,
yeah.
Right? But and then the other point that I think is so important is just remind people, especially women who are considering getting pregnant or are pregnant, how important it is for them to have a healthy microbiome, because that is the inheritance they are passing on to their child. And I just don't know how many pregnant women truly understand what a great responsibility they have in terms of the microbiome aspect of their pregnancy.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if only I knew the information that I did now. If only I knew what I know now back then, gosh, things would be completely different from my kids. It's just amazing, and it's certainly a great passion of mine to let women know that it really is a big deal. You really, really have to understand your body. I mean, I would love if every single couple that were thinking of getting pregnant, if they got, some really complex stool analysis and understood what's happening in their gut, what are they going to pass on? So, we often think about, I want to make sure my kid goes to a good school, and I want to make sure that, they've got a great soccer team, and I want to make sure that I nourish them. But it happens well before that. You want to be able to make sure that you're well nourished to be able to grow these thriving little bodies. I mean, I have since discovered that I've got MTHFR, which is a genetic implication that involves how our bodies process folate. Now, I didn't know that at the time, so I took, I was told by the doctor, took folate. Now, I just took the normal folate, whereas my body needs the converted folate because I have a lot of trouble converting that. And then that would have had quite an impact on my children in their sort of initial development in the womb for their gut lining and even things like, cleft palate or spina bifida. That's why we take the folate. But understanding your body and understanding how your body is made will really just help you to create thriving little humans. And it doesn't take much, and you don't need to be daunted about it. Often it's just simple steps. And just simple changes and being aware is often just the first thing. But, I think we've got a lot of knowledge now, and so we need to take responsibility to read that knowledge and become empowered with that and implement it ourselves and not sort of wait for others to tell us what to do. But, just even little things like when the babies are first born and that beautiful, precious breast milk that comes through can either be, nourishing microbes, or it can be, really harmful, destroying microbes. So it's powerful, really, really powerful.
And also to remind women who are considering conceiving or are pregnant, or people who are listening, parents, grandparents, to help their kids, the trend that is still very popular in Australia and the U.S., is cesarean births. So cesarean births have grown in number, and for a variety of reasons, they're so commonly done, these procedures. But in terms of the microbiome story, it's a real disaster, because children are being brought into this world through, obviously, through surgery, taken out, and entering into the operating theater. Their first breath is whatever the microbiology is of that operating theater. They're not getting properly implanted because they're not going through the vaginal canal as Mother Nature intended. So these kids very often, and generally actually, have some major problems because they're not seeded with the right probiotics, the microbiome, and which is why they are now doing this procedure, this seeding procedure, where they swipe the vaginal tract of the woman, and then they take that cloth and put it all over of the baby's body, so they can have the experience of going through the canal without actually having gone through the canal, but getting inoculated with the right microbiome, which I think is so profound that is occurring right now. It is becoming more well known.
It's amazing. And that study that, was sort of the catalyst for that seeding project is now over 7 years long. So it's, it's a longitude study. And the markers that are coming out, so the test results showing that there's really no difference between the children that were born naturally and the C-sex children with regards to their microbiome. So it has had a profound effect on how their microbiomes developed over the course of, those 7 years by being seeded. So, of course, if, a mother and child are in stress and it's absolutely necessary, we're so fortunate to have C-sections to save mother and, baby. But often it's not necessary. But when it is necessary, it's so wonderful that we've been able to find a new way to reseed and to make sure that those beautiful babies are able to be set up, because the allergy risk and the asthma risk is so high for cesarean-born babies.
So that last comment leads me to ask you your thoughts about why there's such a high incidence of asthma in Australia, but it's really in the United States and around the world as well, such a high incidence of allergies. What's the connection that you see, or through your research, between these problems, these growing in huge incidence, certainly in Western countries?
Exactly. So our immune system really is built on the bifido strains in our gut, the bifidobacterium strains. So if we have quite a low diversity of those strains within our gut, it's going to be very hard for us to create those building blocks to be able for our immune system to respond correctly. So, and the bifido strains are the first things that are inoculated into a child or a baby's gut. The lactobacillus strains come a little bit later. So if a child comes through that birth canal and the mother doesn't have any, like I did, I had absolutely zero count when I had my gut microbiome tested, there's going to be no sort of platform for that immune system to really thrive and to nourish the child. We know that very specific strains like Lactobacillus rhamnosus, for example, has a profound effect on cooling inflammation down, and it certainly helps with asthma and allergies. And we're finding that very specific strains and gut bacteria really modulate different parts of the body, and especially the immune system. So if children have antibiotics at an early age, or they're not inoculated appropriately at an early age with those thriving gut bacteria, then they're not going to be able to, have that platform. And so once that platform is not there, then, it sort of paves the way for things like leaky gut, and, sort of little helpers in the body to cool down that inflammation and to send the right signals to the body to let it know that, no, it's okay, that's not an invader, you'll be fine, calm the body down. So once again, we may have a genetic predispensity to it. So my daughter, for example, she can't create interferons very well within the cells, which is how we, manage any pathogens that come into the body. But we know that Lactobacillus rhamnosus is a wonderful bacteria strain that helps to promote those interferons within the cells and helps to create that immune response. So for her, even though she's got those little issues, we know that there are ways around that, and, obviously really good bacteria, fermented foods, good probiotics can minimise the impact and minimise the problem. I think the other thing that's worth noting is many years ago, most traditions within the world had some form of fermented foods, no matter what it was. It might be sauerkraut. The Australian Aboriginals fermented grasses, and I've just been to the Solomon Islands, and they, ferment a little rice coconut sort of pudding. They ferment it for well over 6 months. And so you know, children were brought up on that, and mothers who were conceiving were eating it, and mothers who were giving birth were eating it, and it was part of everyday life. And so we didn't know the research, we didn't understand it, there was no studies for it. People just knew that you ate these fermented foods because they healed the body and they provided support. When I was in the Solomon Islands, and you know, these beautiful elders that I met, oh yeah, the people that eat that fermented pudding, yeah, they live a long time. They're the ones that seem to be healthy and live a long time. And they don't know the science behind it, but they know just from being handed down over generations that it's, you know, it's going to be helpful and it's going to provide, you know, that real support for the body, when, especially when some, you know, a child is young and needs to grow, or when the elderly need it. But we've sort of lost our way with that. People are very scared of fermented foods. My mum didn't hand down to me the joy of fermenting or the knowledge of fermenting. And so it wasn't part of my life when I was married and wanted to go on and fall pregnant and have a family. So I think we've sort of lost our way a little bit in what foods are nourishing and what foods provide that basis for, you know, thriving health and for nourishing all of our cells and our immune system. We've really lost our way. And so we need to get back to that, to support our little bodies, which, you know, they're not hard to nourish if we know how to nourish them.
Well, certainly supporting our microbiome is so fundamental. And I know you have been working with a lot of families with children who are on the spectrum, I would imagine learning disabilities as well. But it's not just with children that you're sharing your work and your cultures. You're also, I believe, you know, working with everyone out there who's dealing with some health challenges. So share with us just how your work has evolved and who you're able to support on their healing journeys.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of my clients and a lot of the beautiful people that I work with come to me when they've just sort of run out of options. I've tried everything. I've tried the mainstream approach. They've tried, you know, then going into more of the alternative healing. And so by the time they get to me, they've really tried everything. And they know that it's something to do with their gut or something to do with their immune system. And so I have people with a range of issues, like right down to just, you know, simple bloating and irritable bowel, right through to chronic mental health issues, parasites, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome, obviously kids with a lot of learning disabilities. The list of people that come to me with ailments is really quite long. And what we find is that when we take the pressure off of the body and start to feed it nourishing foods that are easy to digest, and we start to look at what pathogens are living in there and how can we address those pathogens and then rebuild the gut, it is just amazing to literally watch these symptoms that they're struggling with for sometimes, you know, 20 years just sort of melt away. And I find it amazing and so rewarding to see, especially clients with mental health issues or kids that have really struggled with, you know, dyslexia or struggled with sleep or struggled with learning. Once their bodies start to become nourished, they really start to thrive and they start to feel well and the anxiety goes away, or, you know, the tantrums or the sleeplessness, all of these symptoms that are kind of like little warning bells to us that something's not right, they start to fade away. And it's incredible to watch people that once the heightened alert of that inflammation immune response starts to settle down, people just sleep and sleep and sleep, and they start to come back into society again. And once you feel well, you really then start to look outward. And, you know, it's been amazing to watch clients that feel so well, they start to look outward and want to help their community and want to start to, you know, assist others in getting better. And they're not insular anymore. They're not surviving anymore. They're actually thriving. They start to follow their passions and their dreams, and they really start to, you know, regain a sense of abundant life as opposed to just surviving day in, day out and dealing with struggles all the time. And, you know, I must, you know, say my dad, you know, he's a wonderful example of that. He's had chronic health and you know, chronic sort of issues his whole life, and he's followed the journey that we have with food and rebuilding the gut microbiome. And at the age of 70, he now, you know, teaches out in the bush in remote Aboriginal communities, and he's following his passion, and he's finally, you know, achieving his dream of working out in remote community areas, teaching kids. And he just thought his whole life he'd never be able to do it because he was never well enough. His cognitive abilities weren't strong enough, and he just never thought he'd be able to cope. But there he is at 70 out there, and he ferments his food every day, and he eats nourishing foods, and you know, he's thriving, and he's giving back to the community because he's feeling better. And because I just find it so amazing to watch people find their feet again and find themselves and their passion. And yeah, it's so rewarding. And we were saying yesterday, and we were having our brief chat, you know, Noah, my son, has been through so much trauma, and I feel like the work I do now is just to honour that and to help others so they don't have to go through it. And it's beautiful to watch it happening. It's very special.
Well, I agree. You know, anyone who's in the healing arts world knows what great satisfaction it is when you can really make a difference in a person's life and bring their health back online again. And certainly the role of the microbiome is so fundamental, as we are learning. Most people, because of our exposure to toxic chemicals, antibiotics, hormones, by the way, whether it's the pill or hormone replacement therapy or bioidentical hormones, they all impact and compromise healthy gut flora, as do steroids. So there's just so many, in fact, just the wrong food. If you just have too much junk food and too many carbs and too many bad fats, that breeds the wrong microbiome. So as the science continues to unfold, we're just seeing what a responsibility is. It's like we have this little garden inside us, and we have to take care of it properly and nourish it and fertilize it, right? Because
Oh,
everything depends on
absolutely.
it.
Absolutely depends on it. And you can't mess around with it. You can't sort of put it off and, oh, it's okay. I'm not really not that bad, or you know, it'll get better over time. You know, it doesn't. You really have to really nourish it, because it's only you that will do that. No one else can do that for you. So, and it's a hard road, because those little bugs, the bad ones, for example, Candida, they release huge amounts of acetohide when they live in the body. Now, that acetohide is you know, an alcohol. And you know, if you've got that alcohol pulsing through your body from that little Candida bacteria, your poor liver is under so much stress, and then you know that's going to have impacts on your body. And you know, those little Candidas, they're amazing. They send messages up through the vagus vein to the brain and literally tell you to crave carbs and white foods and sugars. And so when people come to me and they're like, I've just tried everything, and my willpower is horrendous, and I can't stick to anything, and I don't know why I find myself binging on sugar and binging on food. You know, I'm such a bad person. And I really need to sit down and explain to them, it's actually your bugs that do that. It's not you. It's not your willpower. It's not you as a person. You've got these parasites and these things literally living inside of you. You're the host. They're living there, and they're taking over the environment, and they're dictating what environment they want. And they will keep on dictating that and keep on creating that environment so they can survive, unless you go in with some really wonderful, nourishing, fermented nutrition that changes the ecosystem and changes the balance, so you can fight back. And only then will you be able to make change. You can't fight back just on your own. No one has that much willpower, because those bugs are so powerful, and the toxins that they release are so powerful. So you've got to wage war, and you've got to go in there with the arsenal. So then you've got your army with you to fight, instead of just doing it on your own. So, you know, that I find that lots of my clients finally feel relief when they know it's not them, and it's not, you know, they feel like they're failing all the time. And when you kind of break it down to that simple, we're a system, and you've got a pathogen living in that system and it wants to take over and it's taking all your nutrients away, when you sort of peg it down to that simple core functional understanding, it then becomes quite easy to fight back and really understand what's going on. It's not your personality. We just need to fight, bugs with bugs.
So that's it's such a great story, because the research that I've done looking into the candida, which of course it proliferates when you do anything to disturb a healthy microbiome, my best metaphor for that is understanding our gut is a rainforest. So if you go in and clear cut a rainforest, which is what antibiotics and steroids and hormones do, then you actually have this invasive species take over, and we see it here in Australia. And we have this invasive species, so all the inappropriate or those microbiome that did live but were outnumbered by the good guys can now thrive, and Candida is one of them, so they can take over. And I think Candida can emit about 79 different types of toxins as part of its waste product. So, we are getting poisoned when, in addition to this disturbance that's going on. So I have a question to ask you before we come to the end of our conversation. So one of the questions I have for you, Christy, is this is my question that I've always wondered. So we eat these fermented foods and they have these live microorganisms in there, and they have to go through the stomach acid. How do they survive the stomach acid and make it into the small intestine where they can then, propagate and grow and reestablish and colonize there?
Yeah. Well, that's a long-standing question that everyone certainly discusses. But when it's carried down via food, the microbes can attach to the fiber in the food and then can be carried forward. So from my understanding, it changes the acidity of the gut and obviously changes of the stomach, and enables to pass through that digestive process. The other thing is that they create lactic acid within the gut, and the lactic acid can survive the stomach acid and survive that process, and then those microbes can travel down. So once again, it's an amazing, powerful fact of fermented foods that often probiotics can't do that. They can't survive and travel down. So, it is, once again, it's just another beautiful reason why we need to eat them, as opposed to relying on powders or formulas that aren't a natural food and therefore don't create those natural acids and natural byproducts that allow the bugs to be able to pass down through.
So your website is Cultured Wellness, and that's with a K. So it's K-U-L-T-U-R-E-D, wellness.com. And you offer your special brew of microorganisms in these cultures. So people can actually order them. Do you ship them overseas?
We do. We ship all around the world.
So they can survive wherever they may be sent to do their healing work.
So we ship them in a little esky on ice. It's very cute, actually, when they get delivered. And because it's a living food, they survive, quite well, as long as there's a little bit of food left in them in the packet. They survive quite well. And we allow for about 2 to 3 weeks for them to stay out and before they need to go back into the fridge again. It's been lovely to be able to share our foods with all sorts of different countries all over the world, and we ship to the U.S. quite often, actually.
Yeah, so that's really important for people to know. If they have been experiencing a variety of health issues, there's always an involvement with the microbiome. So getting a really special culture, which there are cultures available, but yours is a really special blend of these unique and appropriate microorganisms that have the most impact on restoring health to the gut. That's what I hear from what you've been doing and what you've been researching and what you've been creating, these amazing cultures, which I have to say I have started using, and I ferment my coconut cream with it, and now I'm putting it into my little smoothie shake every morning. So I'm, you know, I'm excited about what you're doing, Christia. I just think it's so powerful, and it's just working on one of those most fundamental levels for restoring our health. You know, we just have to get back to the microbiome. So I invite people to go to your website, Cultured Wellness. Remember, that's K-U-L, Cultured Wellness, and see what Christy is doing and check out her amazing formulas and cultures. And they're really delicious and very powerful healing food. And you have a little ebook that you send out as well when people do they get an ebook? Or I know you have an ebook, right? That explains how to do that.
Yeah, we have an ebook and also a hard copy book as well with different recipes and information about how to use the fermented foods and what to do. And for people who get a little bit nervous or aren't quite sure, we've got some videos on the website as well. So. Because it can be overwhelming and quite daunting when you know, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know, am I creating a science experiment here? So, but you know, be comforted in the fact that everyone starts there, and then it just becomes second nature, and off you go.
Well, easy to do. Just go up and have a visit at culturedwellness.com. Christy, I just want to thank you for all the work you're doing, for your inspirational story, for, you know, your amazing persistence to find the healing keys for your family, for you, and now for people around the world. So just keep up all that great work. It's really making a big difference.
Oh, thank you. And I'm so grateful to be here. It's been lovely chatting with you, and I feel the same. Keep up your great work as well. It's lovely to have all these little soldiers out there helping everyone to gain their health and thrive.
Absolutely. And so thanks for being with us. We've been talking to Kirsty Wirth. She is the founder of Cultured Wellness and bringing these amazing microorganisms and her special well-researched formula in her cultures to really help reseed, regenerate, and heal a microbiome. And so, Christy, thanks so much for being with us today. We're talking to you from Australia. And I just want to just add one other thing. We talked in our conversation, we talked about the role of nutrigenomics, looking at the genes. So I don't know whether you know this, Christy, but I've been working with nutrigenomics for the past 5 years. So I offer this test for people, and it's been quite profound. Most people I have tested have impaired this process called methylation that you mentioned. So they have a real problem in getting their key functions to be turned on, including the risk of birth defects and impaired detoxification, impaired ability to make your neurotransmitters. So that's a really big story that people need to be taking the right form of Bs and the activated B, not folic acid. And I also see the vast majority of people have inherited genes that make them compromised in their ability to do detoxification. So there's lots to be learned from nutrigenomic testing as well as, you know, so many of the other key tests. But this is, you know, very profound test, saved my life. So I just want to do a little commercial here. Until December 23rd, everything on my website, which is whatwomenmustknow.com, is 20% off, which includes my nutrigenomic test, it includes my consultations, it includes all my special products that I have researched and made available. So go check it out. It's an opportunity to get some really important testing done or consultation done or whatever your needs may be. So that's whatwomenmustknow.com. Go check it out over there. And again, to all of you listening, thank you for joining me today for another opportunity to just keep getting empowered with the knowledge that really makes a difference in our lives. And thanks again to Kirsty Wirth. And to all of you listening, take care, have a great day, and remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.